Hallelujah. 1 Samuel 17, verse 26. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? It was something for David, folks, to walk up there and say, who does this guy think he is? He's talking to warriors. Who does he think he is? Who does he think he is defying my God? Let's pray and ask God right now. Hallelujah. I want God to speak through me to you tonight like never before. Heavenly Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, we come to you, Lord, believing, trusting, Lord, knowing that you're able, God. Hallelujah, we serve a mighty God, moving this house tonight. God, you see every need, Lord God, in this house. Hallelujah, right now, God, I want you to touch every heart, speak to each one of us here tonight, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. You can be seated. I have a title of my message tonight, God Desires Risk Takers. God desires risk takers. Folks, I believe David took a great risk stepping forward and asking about killing this giant. And I asked you tonight, what exactly is a risk? What is a risk? You see, folks, risks are difficult to define because they are often in the eye of the beholder. For some people, driving a motorcycle is a risk. For others, investing in the stock market is a risk. For maybe another, committing to a relationship through marriage is a seriously frightening endeavor. Risks are probably those things that make us feel challenged beyond our usual comfort zone. Risk taking pushes us into areas of uncertainty. Risk put us to the test. But here is my question to you tonight. Is there any value in taking a risk? Think about it with me tonight. Is there any value in taking a risk? Listen, folks, there's probably anything that's ever been invented with somebody taking a risk. Aren't you glad for those that have taken risks and the different technologies and the things that we have and the conveniences in our home? Somebody took a risk and said, I'm going to market this. Those things don't just happen, folks. It takes money. They probably borrowed from family members and their neighbors and things of that and said, I believe this can sell. So is there any value in taking a risk? Should you push yourself to risk a sense of personal security, whether it be emotional or physical? You see, many people advise avoiding risks, and they recommend living a life in a much bubble wrapped as possible. In fact, many people who consult a psychologist due to high anxiety or panic or panic attacks or phobias, amen, have attempted to live their life avoiding risk at all costs. Folks, there is risk avoidance behavior that has the effect of shrinking their life. And sometimes it shrinks it to the point of not being able to function at home or at work. Anxious individuals believe that eliminating fear and the uncertainty will cure those woes. In reality, you see, they must do the very opposite. They must embrace fear and uncertainty and accept their inability to control all they would like to control. Embracing this reality means accepting that life is full of risk. and opportunities, and they can't have one without the other. You see, the problem with reducing anxiety is to stop trying to control things that they believe cause their anxiety and accept that risks are the vital part of life. Now, I ask you tonight, have you ever taken a risk for God? Have you ever taken a risk for God? Maybe you've done something that you would otherwise, you wouldn't otherwise accept, that you knew God wanted you to do it. Think about it tonight. Can you remember what your worries were about? Maybe it was what people would say about you doing certain things. Maybe, who am I to put myself forward like this? What if I fail? Will God come through? See, folks, let me tell you something tonight. Never tell anyone it can't be done. Because God may have been waiting for centuries for somebody ignorant enough of the impossible to do that very thing. Many people think of risks as a negative situation we should avoid. But folks, risk is a part of life, and it is the biggest part of your faith. Amen? Do you believe that tonight? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not every risk is worth taking. But if you are too overwhelmed by fear to correctly assess a situation, you miss many opportunities for growth in your life, increased strength in your life, deeper faith in your life, and success in your walk with God. Have you been playing it safe? Too safe? You see, if forward is direction you choose in your journey of faith, I want you to understand you need to be prepared to take some godly risk. Amen? If you want to go forward in your walk with God, folks, you need to be prepared to take godly risk. Amen? I want you to understand tonight, being a disciple of Christ, is this world is not safe, and it isn't intended to be safe, folks. David, he was not ignorant, but he was convinced that being a servant of God meant something to him. Hallelujah. If sometimes meant sticking your neck out or taking a risk because that is what God is asking you to do. Amen. We need to look beyond how others view you. David looked beyond how others saw him, and he saw God, what God saw in him. Amen. David encountered two criticisms which maybe also he had to face in his life. Amen. A man by the name of Aaron McDinnis, he wrote, I want to reiterate the fact that center of God's will is not in a safe place, but the most dangerous place in the world. You see, God fears nothing and God fears no one. God moves with intentionality and power. To live outside of God's will puts us in danger, but to live in His will makes us dangerous. You see, people may question your abilities. Eliab was David's brother. He had heard that David say something to men when he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? When Eliab heard that, his reaction was in 1 Samuel 17, verse 28. When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, why have you come down here, and with whom did you leave those few sheep in the desert? Do you understand what he's saying, folks? He's saying to David, David, who do you think you are? You've got nothing to offer, David. You don't have any ability in this area. Your ability, David, and place in life is looking after the few sheep in the field And that is all you will ever be good for, David. That is your place in life, and get back to the field. You see, folks, people may question your motives. But we like to play it safe a lot of times, don't we? People may question your motives. In 1 Samuel 17, verse 28, it said, I know, here's Eli talking to David, I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You come down only to watch the battle, David. David's dad set him down to give food to his brothers. Look what he's saying about him. See, the only reason, David, you are here is so that you can come and laugh at us while we are fearful of the enemy. You're not here, David, to take the situation seriously. David, you are here, just here for an entertainment value. Maybe some of you here tonight, folks, maybe some of you here have been familiar in this similar situation as David. Maybe you have always been put down by people around you, and maybe even by your own family members. And so taking a risk by obeying God fully is something that is hard to do. When I said I was coming to Cleveland, my family said I was crazy. Not all of us, some of them. David, you have a friend. Maybe, folks, let me tell you something tonight. Maybe you have a friend in David. When you see what David went through, maybe you say, I can relate to David. I think that David had been put down all of his life by his brothers. See, David was an illegitimate son. You get the feeling tonight, folks, that David's brothers had put David down for years. You can hear it in their exasperated reply to David. In 1 Samuel 17:29, now that I have, he said, now what have I done? David said, David, can I even speak? You can tell the frustration. You see, folks, can I encourage you to start doing what David did tonight? Can I encourage you to do what David did? You see, at some stage in his life, David must have decided that his worth and his ability was not founded in what others thought of him, but it was what God thought of him. So when you look at verse 30, we see he isn't put off by all the belittling of his brothers. Amen. In verse 30, Samuel 17, 30, he then turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter, and the men answered him as before. David just, you know what, Eliab, I don't want to hear it anymore. And he started talking, is there any reason why this uncircumcised Philistine is getting away with belittling my God? I think there ought to be some apostolics here tonight. It says, I am sick and tired of people not being healed. I am sick and tired of my family members and my friends and my neighbors and my coworkers not being saved. I'm going to take a risk. David's focus was on God's opinion, not those of others. I think we ought to worry a whole lot less about what somebody's going to look at you and what they're going to say about you and say, I know God wants to use me. I'll take the risk. Only God can see all that he has made you to be. Amen? You believe that tonight? Only God can see what he has made you to be and all that you can become if you give your life wholly to him. You see, when others see your life in the black and white, God sees your life in vibrant colors. Amen. What step is God wanting you to take tonight? What step is God wanting you to do? Amen. At work, at school, in your neighborhood, talking to someone about Jesus, maybe even inviting them to church, or what about how others view your resources, folks? What about it? Because you're not afraid to take a risk and tackle a problem simply by using what you have. Amen. Even if it seems insignificant. Amen. But you may think, what have I got to to offer to God. You may think that. You see, David was in exactly the same position. Let me tell you something, folks. This lowly shepherd boy, this illegitimate son, he was up there confronting the big boys. Why in the world is this uncircumcised Philistine running down our God? He went before the board. Come on. Why is this happening? Well, you little punk, get back to the field where you belong. That's what Eliab said. Get back to the field. Who do you think you are? You know what? David's like, I don't care who I am. I'm going to talk to these folks here. I'm going to tell them, God used me before. God has done things in my life, and he can do it again. Amen. Let me tell you something, folks. These guys were carrying swords. They were carrying spears and whatever else they had in those days. Maybe they had a chariot sitting next to them, but here's a little shepherd boy with his slingshot. And you may sit here tonight and say, what have I got to offer God? What do I have? David was at exactly the same position as what you're thinking tonight. In 1 Samuel 17:31-33, what David said was overheard and reported to Saul. David's out here talking to the team, and he gets back to old Saul. And Saul heard about it. He said, bring him here. Saul sent for him. David said to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. Talk about risk. Saul replied, listen to this. You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a boy. And he has been a fighting man from his youth. He's saying, listen here, boy. You can't do this. Come on, I'm talking to some people tonight. God says, I want you to take a risk. Come on. I want you to say, come on, I don't care what you are. I'll use you as you are. If you'll just take a risk in me, I'll use you. Come on, boy. Listen here, boy. David was in the same position, folks, that many of us feel at times. Come on, let's be honest here tonight. I said David was in the same position that many of us here tonight have been in. When God says, I want to use you, and you say, well, what do I have to give you? And the enemy's saying, listen here, boy, you can't do this. The enemy's saying, hey, boy, don't talk to them about God. Maybe they know more than you. Come on. The enemy's saying, hey, boy, don't get to know your neighbor. They'll never serve God. Hey, boy, don't talk to your boss at work. You're just a boy. Who do you think you are? Come on. Am I talking to anybody that's been here where I'm talking about tonight? Come on, folks. Hallelujah. He's telling you cannot do this. God says, come on, I want a risk taker. God's saying, I want a risk taker. Come on, is there anybody here willing to take a risk with God tonight? Is there anybody here willing to let God use you? There's a couple resources that you may also share. You see, folks, there's a history of depending on God. Come on. In 1 Samuel 17:34-37, David said to Saul, come on, David's reaching back here a little bit tonight, folks. Hey man, has God ever done anything in your life that you could reach back to? David said to Saul, your servant has been, think about it, Saul just got done calling him a boy. You're just a boy. David says, Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and carried off the sheep from the flock, I went after it. Amen. This boy went after it and stuck it and struck it and rescued the sheep from its mouth. And when this boy turned on me, when this thing turned on me, I seized it by its hair and struck it and killed it. Your servant, this boy, has killed both lion and bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them. Why? Because he has defiled the armies of a living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of a lion and the paw of a bear will deliver this boy from the hand of a Philistine. Saul said to David, go and let the Lord be with you. I hope you don't mind that I added a little bit there. Called him a boy, and that's, I don't care. Amen. But listen, I want you to get a picture tonight what God wants you to do. Amen. Amen. Don't let the enemy beat up on you and tell you you cannot do anything for God. Amen. Come on, folks. God is saying, is there any risk takers in the house tonight? Is there any risk takers in Church of Pentecost tonight? Come on, worship him right now. Folks, listen to me. God had shown David that he could be trusted. God said, look, David, I helped you before. I helped you in the deliverance of a bear, in deliverance of a lion. I can help you with this giant. Come on, can you look back into the history of what God has done for you like David did? You see, David, folks, had developed the habit of relying on God in every single ordinary day. Come on. Is there anybody here that wouldn't want to walk through a day without God? I don't know about you, but I need him every day. Hallelujah. I want to rely on him every day. David developed a habit. That's a good habit to get into. Look what else. Look what Jesus said in Matthew 25, verse 21. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. David, you were faithful when it come to a bear. David, you were faithful when it come to a lion. And who knows what else out there. Amen. Hey, I'll help you with this giant. You see, the ordinary is the training ground for the extraordinary. Come on. Your everyday life, folks, is your training ground for God to be able to do something great in you. Is God so much a part of your everyday that turning to him becomes a habit? Oh, that's a bad day. Hey, Jesus. Come on. Are you qualified today to be a risk taker for God? And you know, another thing we need to rely on is our God-given abilities. Listen, don't be embarrassed of what God made you. Come on. I'm a child of the King. Look at me. A crooked nose and big ears and whatever. God, I'm a child of God. All you know is this. Well, that's what God made me. Come on, we need to be proud of what we are in God. But I'm going to tell you something else you need to be proud of. Of where God wants to take you. Come on. Come on, all you parents. You knew when that baby was born, that baby couldn't do anything. You had to change his diaper. You had to feed it. You had to do everything for it. They didn't stay there. Why do we think we can't grow in God? Well, let me tell you something. If we have the mentality that God, that, hey boy, you can't do anything, then you won't grow in God. But when you get sick and tired of the devil beating up on you, calling you boy, folks, you need to start slapping him around a little bit and say, hey, God, I'll take a risk for you today. I'll take a risk in God any day. You have God-given abilities. See, David, surely David was that type of man. In 1 Samuel 17, 38 and 40, then Saul gave David his own armor. Listen, he's in there with the big boys. He's in the office of the king, and he says, he's a mighty warrior. Saul was a mighty warrior, folks. And David's here. Saul gave David his armor. It was a bronze helmet and a coat of mail. David put it on, strapped the sword over it, and took a step or two to see what it was like. For he had never worn such a thing before. We're talking about different categories. Saul, the warrior. David, the shepherd. David had his own abilities in God. Saul had his own. And here Saul says, take some of my armor. And David puts it on. He takes a couple steps to see how it fits him. And know what he says? I can't go in these. Come on, boy. Why not? I can't go in these. He protested to Saul, I am not used to them. So David took them off again. He picked up 5 smooth stones from a stream. In David's abilities. Give me some stones. Come on, give me some stones in his own ability. And he put them into his shepherd's bag. Then armed only with a shepherd's staff and a sling, he started across the valley to fight the Philistine. Come on, folks, in his own ability. I'm telling you tonight, I don't care what abilities you have or what you don't have, but whatever you have, if you'll say, God, I'll be a risk taker tonight. God says, come on, bring what you have, because I want to use you just as you are. See, now, we could think, well, God temporarily gave David this supernatural strength. He became He-Man. No. You see, God used David as he was. He used David's abilities, the abilities David already had. You see, David was a shepherd. His ability was in using the staff and the slingshot, not a sword, not a coat of armor. Folks, I'm telling you, he says, look, I've not proved this, Saul. I can't wear this, but I know what God has used me in before, and he'll do the same. Amen. If I'll just give God my abilities, he will use it. Trying to use someone else's method didn't work for David. He had to rely on the unique abilities that God had given him. Amen. And it is the same with us today, folks. Amen. Use what God has given you. You may not be a Lee Stone King or a Jeff Arnold, but you have abilities that God wants to use tonight. All you got to do is offer your abilities to God. Do you want to be a risk taker tonight? Mother Teresa once said, I'm like a little pencil in God's hand. He does the thinking, he does the writing, and the pencil has only to be allowed to be used. How others view your task, folks. Why do we worry about how others view our task? Amen. All you have to do is say, God, use me. Use me. Get God's perspective on your life. Folks, you don't have to be the strongest. You don't have to be the fastest. You don't have to even play in the game. Play the game, folks. You know the odds. Now beat them. Hallelujah. What odds would Vegas have placed on David fighting Goliath? 100 to 101? 1,000 to 1? What odds? Who cares what others view you as? Could you think about Eliab? After he did all that, said all that to David. And he sees him coming out of Saul, his office. He sees him walking over to the spring and picking up those stones and putting them in his little bag. What do you think he's thinking? Do you think for 1 minute David even cared? David probably didn't even, once he turned away from Eliab and started talking to other people, he probably didn't even think about his brother anymore. But see, if Eliab would have been like David, he could have walked before that guy too. You see, some people are too busy looking at what other people are doing and putting their nose in everybody else's business when God says, I would use you if you'd get your nose out of everybody else's business. Why can't you talk to your neighbor and give them a home Bible study? Why can't you talk to your coworker and give them a Bible study? Why don't you get your nose out of everybody else's business and let me use you? Listen, Vegas, I think they would have gave 100 to 1 or 1,000 to 1. Goliath probably thought so. You see, Goliath thought of this. He said in 1 Samuel 17, 42 and 44, he looked at David over and saw that he was only a boy. He saw ruddy and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his God. Come here, he said, and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. I'm telling you tonight, folks, do not worry. I don't think that bothered David one bit. Amen. What that guy was saying to him, I think he marched right up there and said, God, here we are. We're in this place again. Amen. And I've trusted you as he's swinging that around in the name of my God. Too often we're worrying about other people's perspective. Did David say, you come against me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come against you with a slingshot and 5 rounds of ammunition? He didn't say that. I just got back from Cabela's. Right, brother? No, he didn't say that. In 1 Samuel 17, 45 through 46, David said to the Philistine, you come against me with a sword and with a spear and a javelin. Listen here, buddy, but I come to you. You hear me, boy? I come to you, come against you in the name of the Lord God, Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. Listen to me, folks. One person plus God is a majority. That's all you need tonight. Amen. All you need is God. You are a majority. Come on. God wants to use you tonight. Amen. I encourage you. I encourage you tonight to be a risk taker for God and do it, folks, but only if it is motivated by one purpose. David's purpose. Aim for God's glory. Come on, aim for God's glory. Not what I can get, amen, but I want the glory of God to be used in my life. I want to be a tool for God. Amen, I want God to use me. Hallelujah, I'll use whatever abilities God has given me, but I want the glory of God. The glory of God, that's all that matters. 1 Samuel 17, 46 and 47, the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's. Who dares wins, but only when we step out in obedience to God. Trusting in God, who is faithful, who will never leave you nor forsake you. What step is God wanting you to take? Come on, I've been preaching to you for a bit here. And I'm asking you, what step does God want you to take? What have you been avoiding? You hear me tonight, folks? What step is God asking you to take? I believe God has been speaking to everyone here. I believe God has been wanting you to do something. And I think it's time that Church of Pentecost, amen, us apostolic step up and say, God, I'm here to do something for you. God, I may not be much, but what I am, I'm wanting you to use me. Hallelujah. You see, folks, what step is God wanting you to take? What risk? Is it obedience to Acts 2:38, salvation? Is it asking Jesus to take control of your life and change it and rule your life? Is it sharing Jesus with somebody at school or work or in your neighborhood, whatever it may be? Is it going to someone who you have hurt and asking them for forgiveness? Getting involved in ministry even though you don't feel completely confident. What is it tonight? What step do you need to take? What risk are you willing to take? Let me tell you something tonight. I want to encourage you. I want you to look beyond what others view you as. Look beyond how others view your resources. Oh, you don't have much. Who cares? Look beyond how others view the task at hand. If David were to listen to his brothers, they'd have been serving the Philistines. Too often we are so worried about what other people are thinking that we continue to pray, God, save my family. And God says, I've been trying to use you to do this or do that. Too many times we're worried about what others are thinking or how others will view us. Amen. And probably maybe a boss or somebody you've been around for years is still not living for God. And it's all because we're afraid of what somebody may say about us or think about us. And God's saying, I don't care how little that you think you have, I'll use it if you'll give it to me. Listen, whatever you have tonight is a God-given ability. God gave you something. When God gives you something, He doesn't take it back. Hear me. You know what God wants? He's not going to take it back from you. He wants you to give it back to Him. Come on. I said, God wants you to give it to Him. God says, I want all of you. You know, we could be, you know, it's like when you give that child a pacifier or something, folks, and they get to 16 years old and they're still sucking on you, say, give it here. There's times in our life that God wants us to give Him things. He's not going to take it. But He wants you to give it. And if you'll give it to Him, He will bless you tremendously. We need to look beyond how others view you. We need to look beyond how others view your resources. Look beyond how they view your task. Amen. Listen to tell you what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power and love and self-discipline. Be a risk taker, stepping out in faith. We must remember that we do not need to fear. Let me tell you something, folks. God has given us everything we need to fulfill His will in our lives. Amen. Why? Why does God give us everything? That we walk in power, that we walk in love, that we walk in self-discipline. No matter what our age, we need to overcome our hesitancy and defeat fear so we can carry on and fulfill the plan and the purpose of God in our life. God calls every one of us to be a risk taker. Hear me tonight. I say God calls every one of us as we stand. Tonight, God has called you to be a risk taker. Listen to me. In 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity. If you're afraid to do something, that's not of God. He didn't give it to you. The timidity part, you know what that is? Well, I'm bashful. Let me tell you what bashfulness is. Bashfulness is pride. What do you mean, Brother Roberts? I'm telling you, bashfulness is pride. We're afraid somebody will laugh at us. We're afraid somebody will make fun of us because our pride, we don't embarrass me. Get over your pride. Because listen, your spirit of fear and timidity, it's a spirit. It didn't come from God. He said, I didn't give it to you. But let me tell you what God did give you. God gave you the power, love, and self-discipline. Now we want the power and we want the love, but we don't want the self-discipline. Is this okay? Come on. Is this scriptural? I'm reading it right out of the scripture. We want the power, we want the love, but we don't want to discipline ourselves. Am I talking to anybody here tonight? Come on. Am I talking to anybody in this house tonight? I think we need to say it's time that I do what God wants me to do. I think we need to say it's time. I'm going to do whatever it takes. I'm going to discipline myself to where I can use the power that God has given me. I'm going to discipline myself to where I can learn to love like God wants me to love. Let me tell you, God wants you to use His power. God wants you to have His love, but He wants you to discipline yourself to use them in a right manner. I'm feeling the mighty presence of God in this house. I'm telling you, folks, I believe every one of us know exactly what God wants you to do. Amen. God wants you to take a risk this week in Him, folks. Hallelujah. God wants you. You know what it is?